This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here, San Francisco liberal with a gun. Welcome to episode 18. Last two episodes, numbers 16 and 17, were pretty heavy duty. We delved a bit into the real, true roots of those gun restrictions that the antis like to call gun control. Even I thought the topic was a bit incendiary, perhaps. And maybe that's a good thing. I do know that several of our conservative listeners agreed with dispelling the pseudo-justifications that the antis like to proffer. Yet, at the same time, these same folks felt like I was beating up on white people. Even a few white liberal listeners felt like that. Folks, if we don't learn from history, which means reminding ourselves of it from time to time, then we're doomed to repeat it. Even when sometimes some folks think it's kind of painful. You know how family stories get passed down from generation to generation? That sure happened in my family. We told the stories again every so often. The Haley family. You know Alex Haley's family? They did it. That's how they preserved their history throughout the centuries, and that's how we got the book Roots. That's the only way I know of that works, reminding ourselves every now and again. You see, that's part of liberalism, too. Reminding ourselves of history and making sure it doesn't repeat itself. That's what the Founding Fathers, our original liberals, did during the Constitutional Convention of 1787. This is what resulted in our present-day Constitution, of course. The antis want to disarm us. We know this. We went into that in Episode 11. Heck, we've been going into that in a whole lot of episodes. That bit that they say about, oh, we only want to ban the military-style ones. Yeah, sure. Remember, folks, all firearms are military-style in nature. That was their original intent. Something superior to the halberds, the catapults, the ballistas, and so on. That's why armies and navies have them. The ultimate goal of the antis cannot be anything but disarmament of the general population. It can't be. And they've told us this. They've actually told us this repeatedly, as in on several occasions. And the Founding Fathers foresaw that and warned us against it. Now, that's why the Second Amendment's there. And that's what puts a little wrinkle into the plans of the antis. They know, see, that they can't get around the Second Amendment just willy-nilly without passing, say, the 28th Amendment that says, the second article of amendment to the Constitution of the United States is hereby repealed. Of course, to get such a 28th Amendment requires just a few things. A two-thirds supermajority voting in both of the House and the Senate. By the way, as well as ratification by three-fourths of the states in our union. Given that we have 50 states, how many does that make? Makes 38 that you need. You need 38 states. The antis know good and well that ain't gonna happen. Well, at least not today. So, they're looking toward years in the future. They're going after our children. Yep, get them while they're young and impressionable. Teach them that guns are bad, bad, bad. Yeah, just like I was taught in California. And in recent years, it's taken a step up, by the way. They're so desperate to demonize the firearm that they are now, get this, suspending kids from school for the very mention of guns in any way, shape, or form. Don't believe me? Think I got the tinfoil hat on? Seems to be happening a lot recently, huh? Well, would you believe, then, that one kid in the state of Maryland got kicked out of school for 2 days for chewing a Pop-Tart into a shape that vaguely might have resembled a gun. Yeah, a Pop-Tart. I know. Pop-Tarts, you know, that pastry you put in the toaster, or you just eat it straight out of the package. The one with the frosting on the top, the fruity center inside, I've eaten plenty of those in my day. Yeah, that pastry. Pop-Tarts. That's what that boy got suspended for. A Pop-Tart. Which, apparently, his teacher had decided that he chewed on and ate to be in the shape of a weapon. And he got tossed from school for that. I know. I wouldn't have believed it either if someone had told me. But it's actually true. Here's the story on this. Listen to this.
That one, I think, is crazy.
Academics are hard for Josh, who suffers from ADHD.
It's already turning out good.
But he excels in art class.
Black, red, orange.
But that creativity may have gotten Josh into trouble at Park Elementary School when he was munching on a breakfast pastry.
It was already a rectangle. I just kept on biting it and biting it. Tore off the top of it, and it kind of looked like a gun, but it wasn't.
Josh admits he was trying to shape it.
All I was trying to do was turn it into a mountain, but it didn't look like a mountain, really. And it turned out to be a gun, kind of.
When his teacher saw his strawberry tart...
And she was pretty mad, and I think I was in big trouble.
Then Josh's dad was called.
And she said that they had to suspend Josh for 2 days because he used his breakfast pastry and fashioned it as a gun.
School officials will not comment on the case, citing privacy reasons. But Josh's dad tells me he was told that his son also said the words bang, bang while holding that breakfast pastry. And that constituted a threat.
I didn't say bang, bang. I just pointed up at the ceiling.
And I asked, you know, was anyone hurt? And they said no.
Late Friday, a letter went home with students which explains the incident where a student used food to make inappropriate gestures.
I would say almost call it insanity. I mean, with all the potential, you know, issues that could be dealt with in school, you know, real threats, you know, bullies. I mean, whatever the issue is, I mean, it's a pastry. You know?
I forgot to call that part.
Now Josh just wishes he could go back to class, and he wants his pastry back.
I didn't get to eat all my breakfast. So really, I am still hungry.
In Brooklyn Park, Kathleen Cairns, Fox 45, News at 10.
Yeah, folks. Now they're suspending little 7-year-old boys over assault Pop-Tarts. What's next, assault turkey sandwiches? Maybe there actually is someone out there wacko enough to actually seriously consider a turkey sandwich some kind of assault weapon, too. I wouldn't put much past a lot of the fools I encounter out here these days. Yeah, damn right, that is judgmental, and I meant it as such. Seriously, folks. A Pop-Tart? And this boy, by the way, wasn't even suspended for eating a Pop-Tart. So if you're thinking, oh, well, they threw him out of school because he was eating a Pop-Tart, no, that ain't it. That's not why he got thrown out. He was suspended because some teacher thought that his half-eaten Pop-Tart looked like a gun. As the Valley Girls from my home state of California might say, oh my God. Folks, what in the hell is going on here with this? Well, as you might have expected, I've got an idea to propose about this. What I propose is happening here, folks, is a coordinated, purposeful, very strong, a disproportionately strong, negative response involving the most public shaming and humiliation possible to the most vulnerable people in our society, our children. And who's doing this to our kids? The people in authority over them, the adults in these schools. Their goal seems to be to make anything at all having to do with guns so socially reprehensible, to be considered so socially shameful and unacceptable, that no kid would want that sort of public humiliation to be associated with it. Incidents like this assault Pop-Tart one are meant to be examples to other kids. Guns bad, and if you don't toe the line on that, you're next. As you might imagine, yeah, this has had a negative impact on that boy. I've read reports that he's no longer comfortable going to that school after all this. Well, I'm not sure that I would either. I hope and pray that this innocent little boy's family sues the daylights out of that school and shames them in court, preferably to the tune of a few million dollars. Oh, but that was an isolated incident. That's not representative of our public schools. Cowboy T, you have no business trying to smear our public schools and our teachers with this one occurrence. What's the matter, Cowboy T? You don't like public schools or something? Yeah, I'm sure some of you are thinking that. But guess again. I think the idea of public school education is a great one. I myself went to public schools. I got a terrific education out of them. To this day, I thank my teachers for that. Mr. Hilty, my high school chemistry teacher. Oh, he had a big hand in inspiring me to pick chemistry as my major in college. Mrs. Mell, it's because of you that I stopped mixing up subjective and objective pronouns in sentences. Mrs. Lee Walder, you gave me an appreciation for poetry. And Mr. Douglas A. Chapel, you gave me, and many others, an appreciation for the importance of knowing the law. So it's not the idea of public school education that I have a problem with. What I don't like is the shaming of kids just because some adult has some political agenda that he or she wants to shove down the kid's throat. My teachers didn't do that to me. Mr. Chapel never did that to me. Mrs. Lee Walder never did that to me. Mrs. Mel, Mr. Lundvall, Mr. Hilty, none of y'all ever did that to me. Heck, I remember when I was in high school, I discovered the IBM PC. We had one at home. I came to love the IBM PC. Heck, I still love computers today. It's resulted in this great, geeky, decently paying career that I have now. I came to, quote-unquote, despise the Apple II computers. You see, they were apples. I used an IBM, you understand. See, they were the enemy against all that was IBM and good. Hey, I liked MS-DOS, daggummit. Of course, we still see that today, don't we? Mac versus PC. It's all in good fun, folks. Well, as part of that fun, I would jokingly talk about how Apple computers, including that most saccharine-y one of them all, the Macintosh, were good for one thing and one thing only. Target practice for B-52 bombers and fighter jets. Real computer users use DOS, dang it. This gooey nonsense was for wussies and a total waste of computing resources. Daggummit. Well, in honor of this IBM versus Apple back in my high school days, one of my 11th grade classmates who knew how to draw pretty well, he decided to have some fun with all this. He drew a one-page cartoon for me. It was of an army guy in khakis. You know the MP armbands that the military police wear? Well, this cartoon army guy had an armband with an IBM corporate logo on it. There was another one also with the Atari logo on it because he liked Ataris. I thought Ataris were cool, too. Well, in this army guy's hands was a bazooka, which had just been fired off. And at the other end was an exploding Apple II computer. This bazooka had the name Apple Eater stenciled on it. That wasn't enough, though. He then drew an improved version of this same cartoon with a bit more detail and highlighting the IBM versus Apple bit a little bit more. I kept that cartoon in my various binders all throughout high school. I still have it today. Yeah, I kept it all these years. Like I said, the guy could draw. I looked at it again just last year, as a matter of fact. It's just as hilarious now as it was 27 years ago. The whole class thought it was great. Oh, including Mrs. Lee Walder, our English teacher, who gave me that appreciation for poetry. Today, that cartoon probably would have gotten us both thrown out of school. That's ludicrous, folks. Who's really the wacko here? The kid or the school administrators who throw him out over a half-eaten Pop-Tart? I wish this were an isolated incident, folks. I could dismiss it if it were. Unfortunately, it's not. And I'm going to show you that it's not as soon as we get back from Station ID break. What you're about to hear, you won't believe, even though it's true. This is going to flip you out, folks, so stay tuned.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.
We're back. Sorry about that there, folks. For this episode, I decided to pick up a box of Pop-Tarts and munch one during the station ID break. It was good, too. Strawberry filling. I told you that this shameful incident at that school in Maryland was not an isolated incident. Folks, I wish it had been. But it's not the only one. Listen to this from ABC News about another little boy in Maryland. This one's a first grader.
For Christmas, I got some baseball cards and football cards.
Rodney Lynch seems like a normal six-year-old. He loves playing with his Christmas toys and enjoys a good laugh.
He keeps doing that.
But a letter shared with ABC 7 by his family's attorney paints another picture. In it, a Roscoe R. Nix elementary assistant principal says on December 20th, Rodney was involved in a, quote, serious incident in which he threatened to shoot a student.
Did you ever do that?
No.
Rodney says his trouble started earlier that day.
I went into my desk, and then I got scissors, and then I just pretended it was a gun.
He was sent to the office, then later sent again for something similar. He says then his teacher sent him a third time when a friend did this.
Just pointing her fingers like this, and then she did the pow sound, and I just went like that. And then I got sent to the office again. And I'm the one that gets suspended for just nothing.
A letter from school system attorney says Rodney said pow, but indicates regardless he had already been warned.
I don't think the punishment fits the crime.
Parents Jeannie and Rodney Lynch Sr. say this could have been handled without suspending a first grader.
I don't remember.
They're saying he threatened a student, threatened to shoot a student. He was playing.
They say they're also upset school officials questioned Rodney about things like whether his family owned a gun without them present.
I had to tell her all my video games.
Rodney has served the one-day suspension, but the family says the incident needs to be removed from his permanent record.
Folks, I don't know how many times I played cops and robbers from before kindergarten all the way to the third grade. I didn't know one little boy who didn't play cops and robbers or something similar. When my dad was coming up, it was Cowboys and Indians. Heck, even I played that when I was a little kid. I watched Westerns, too. I watched Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam, Elmer Fudd, all that stuff, too. We were just playing like on the TV shows. Nobody got hurt or threatened or any other such nonsense. You know those kiddie apparatuses they have where the kids can climb all over and around them? They've got the ladders, the slides, the monkey bars, the chain bridges, all that good stuff. We'd use that for cover, see, just like in TV. Boy number one, pow, pow, runs around the slide for cover. Boy number two, bang, bang, runs around one of the upright logs. Pow, bang, bang. Eventually, one boy would get the better position and, pow, got you, you're dead. Sometimes the boy who got quote-unquote shot didn't agree. And then you get this. Hey, I got you, you're supposed to go down. Did not, did two, did not, did two, did not. Mrs. Jackson, I shot Bobby fair and square, and he won't go down like he's supposed to. Now, here comes Mrs. Jackson. Bobby, did Jimmy get you? Not really. Bobby, did he get you? Well, maybe a little. Now, Bobby, I think we know what we need to do now, don't we? Then little Jimmy pipes up. Hey, it's only till everyone else is dead, then we start over. Bobby finally responds. Well, okay, but you only got me a little. Bobby reluctantly lies down like the rules say, and sure enough, once the cops or the robbers win, the game starts over again till recess is done. It's time to go back to class. We did this all the time, folks. There may be fellas out there who've never played cops and robbers, but I sure don't know any of them. Everyone I've ever known's played it. Sometimes you're on the cop's side, sometimes you're on the robber's side. Either way, it was fun. You know, good kiddie fun. Oh, the other variation on that was playing army. Naturally, since I'm in the United States and an American, little boys here would want to be the heroic U.S. Army. Dun-da-da! The other side was usually the Russians, because the Cold War was on at that time. Occasionally, it'd be the Axis and Allies, you know, there'd be that variation of the game. You see, we knew about World War II as well. This was back when General Bradley was much older, but still alive, the five-star general. When it was Axis versus Allies, of course, the Axis powers would always lose, and the U.S. Army would always win. Why? Well, because we're Americans. Duh, we're patriotic kids. First, of course, we'd save France. Then the Battle of the Bulge, and then on to Germany for the victory. Dun-da-da-da! Naturally, everyone would want to be the U.S. Army because they always won. So we had to do the counting rhymes to count people out. You know, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, 20 horses in a stable, one jumped out, all that stuff. The ones who were out got to be the U.S. Army. Kitty games, folks. Little boy games. Just like the kickball we used to play in the playground. Oh, and for those of you wondering, yes, if a girl was good, of course she could play too. She just had to be good. But let's face it, folks. The vast majority of kids who play these games, like, you know, army, cops and robbers, that sort of stuff, it's little boys. Of course they do. It's quite typical for a little boy to want to be that fireman, the policeman, the infantry soldier, the fighter pilot. I really liked fighter pilots. Or the superhero. I like them too. You know, the superhero that saves the day. In this country, that hero was John Wayne, the Lone Ranger, folks like that, you know? The real He-Man Western kind of folks, the rugged fellas. In Germany, it was Old Shatterhand and Winnetou. That's what little boys do. By the way, that kid being thrown out of school in Maryland is not an isolated incident either. Here's another little boy who got suspended for, speaking of playing army, the terrible crime of, wait for it, saving the world from evil forces. Yeah. This little gem happened at a school in Loveland, Colorado.
Ronnie, you know, video games and movies starring superheroes are a big part of kids' lives and a big part of imaginary play at playgrounds like this. Well, the Loveland mother says that kind of pretending doesn't stop just because the kids get on school property.
I just can't believe I got suspended.
7-year-old Alex Evans doesn't understand his suspension.
They said I was being suspended.
Any better than he can pronounce it.
It's called Rescue the World.
He was playing the game during recess at Loveland's Mary Blair Elementary School. And threw an imaginary grenade into a box with what he called pretend evil forces inside.
I pretend I had something in my hand. I pretend the box and there's something shaking in it. And I'm like, and I go.
He did not throw anything real or make any threats against anyone.
Are you okay?
He explains he was pretending to be the hero.
So nothing can get out of it and destroy the world.
Yeah!
But his imaginary play broke the real rules. The school lists what it calls absolutes under the parent resources section of its website. Absolutely no fighting, real or imaginary, and no weapons, real or imaginary.
And honestly, I'm not sure that the rule is very realistic anyways. For kids this age.
Alex is like a lot of second graders. Perpetual motion. His mom says he doesn't understand why pretending to be a soldier is wrong.
I think that when a child's trying to save the world, I don't think you should be punished for it.
Now, we talked to the school district. They say they cannot comment on any specific case or student discipline, but did point out that those rules are clearly posted on the school's website. In Loveland, Julie Hayden, Fox 31 Denver.
Remember I said sometimes little boys play army? Well, here's one example of that. When I played it, those forces of evil ranged from anything from the Axis powers all the way to invading aliens. You see, there was this video game called Space Invaders that was very popular at that time. You know, plus, you always battled the invading aliens in the comic books. That's what they did. You know, sometimes that also meant saving, yeah, women and children. What a terrible crime this little boy Alex hath committed. You know, I listened to that, and my heart so goes out to this kid. Here he is playing a good guy, destroying the forces of evil, and he's thrown out of school for it. The principal who did this, her name is Valerie Laura Black, Laura-Black, she's a hyphenated one. Apparently, she's forgotten that little boys play these imaginary games. Save the world and all that. No, she can't see that. All she sees is this dangerous little boy is playing a dangerous, violent game. We must come down on him very hard. Make an example of this violent little boy so that there won't be any copycats. That's what she sees. She has the same attitude as many others like her that I've met throughout the years. Oh, and it gets better. After this story made national news, all of a sudden, that principal's story starts to change. Yeah, folks. Now Valerie says that young Alex repeatedly threw rocks on the playground. Seems she didn't say that before all the media attention arrived. Oh, no, no. Never told his parents about this alleged rock throwing either, according to Alex's mother. You'd think that she would know if she were told. And there is no documentation anywhere showing that young Alex threw rocks on that playground at any time, by the way. I'm sensing a whole lot of attempts to do some backside covering here. And if true, this wouldn't be the first time people in authority have lied to do so. In both of these cases, folks, the message is clear. Guns bad. Guns bad. Bad, bad, bad. Oh, and military bad, too, because naturally the military has guns. Anything, even remotely smacking of weapons, will result in you little brat, getting thrown out of school. Even if it's just pretending to save the world. We'll be right back.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network. So visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards and PayPal accounts are not required. GunRightsRadio.com.
Now, folks, there's something else I'm seeing in all this, too. Over the years, I've heard plenty of talk about a so-called war on boys in schools. Unfortunately, I've seen evidence of it. It's like they want to turn energetic little boys, like I was, into little automatons. Kind of like they want to take anything masculine out of the boys. Now, don't worry, I'm not going right-wing wacko here like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity and Coulter and the rest of that crowd. No, no. But having worked in a school system myself for nearly 10 years, yeah, I have seen strong indicators of this. The two incidents you just heard, they do seem to fit that pattern, at least to me. Hasn't been that long that a fellow named Charles Ramsey helped rescue three young women. Amanda Berry, Gina DeJesus, and Michelle Knight. He helped rescue them from some embodiment of evil who goes by the name Ariel Castro. Well, Mr. Ramsey has been repeatedly hailed as a hero for doing what he did. Yet he continues to maintain that he's no hero, and that he, as he put it, just played his position. Who wouldn't help someone out in trouble? That was what he said about it. So, given that's his view of it, why was he repeatedly hailed as a hero? Simple. Don't get involved, you might get hurt. Leave it for the police. Of course, by now we all know the story. A fellow named Charles Ramsey heard Amanda Berry's scream and ran over with his half-eaten Big Mac. He was a little worried, even though he knew he was doing a good thing, because he was on someone else's property. He did get involved, and those three women are now free. He acknowledged he was a bit worried, but as he put it, it's about the cojones. You gotta have the cojones. That little boy Alex we just got through talking about might have been saving three women, too. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Aren't we supposed to be encouraging our kids to beat back the forces of evil and fight for all that is right and good? What if a young Charles Ramsey had been suspended, like Alex was, for playing Army Saves the World. Would Mr. Ramsey have had the cojones as an adult to do what he did? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? That, too, is part of being a little boy. And I just find it amazing that our teachers and school administrators are trying so hard to beat that inherent manliness out of our boys. And that definitely includes anything having to do with weapons. You do this enough to an impressionable little child, that child's going to get the hint pretty quickly. Here's an example of what I mean. This kid got threatened with getting tossed out of school for 2 weeks for making a toy gun out of Legos. Get this.
5-year-old Joe Cruz loves his Legos. He was making a dinosaur.
It's the one with the long neck.
But Joe can also make a toy gun out of Legos. He did it for us.
So that's what you made in school?
But when he made one of these at his after-school program at West Hyannis Elementary, the teacher sent him home with a letter threatening the 5-year-old with a 2-week suspension.
It was absurd. I couldn't believe that they were going to kick my son out of daycare for 2 weeks over a little toy gun. I mean, it wasn't even a gun. It was a Lego.
Now, I know you can't see the video, so I'll tell you what this gun was. It was about 5 Lego pieces, put together more in the shape of a cannon, really, than a handgun. And even then, its resemblance to an actual cannon is, at best, vague. Look, hey, the kid's 5 years old. He's not exactly John Moses Browning just yet. Looks to me like some you'd have your toy soldiers wheeling around to fire against the enemy toy soldiers camp during a quote-unquote battle. Listen to the superintendent's response to this. This is really, really telling.
According to school officials, Joe made the Lego gun, then began chasing other kids with it while making shooting sounds.
Even a Lego gun, okay? Pointing a gun and making shooting sounds can be uncomfortable to somebody. And it's not respectful. And if you're told to stop it, the student should adhere to that.
That was Mary Zakowski, the superintendent of schools. Wow. She's a PhD. A PhD is actually equating this. 5 blocks of Legos in the vague shape of perhaps a ground cannon to an actual gun. Sounds like this educator herself needs a bit of an education.
The Cruz family says they're fully aware of the tragic events nationwide in recent years, but that school officials are overreacting to a 5-year-old using his imagination.
How can a 5-year-old be expected to conform his behavior to that of an adult? You can't.
Yeah, it bothers me that he can't go to school and be a kid.
We'll take a short break for station ID and be right back. Stay tuned.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
Remember I mentioned before that girls could play in these so-called little boy games like, you know, cops and robbers, army and so on? Well, seems as Charles Ramsey put it, pretty little white girls aren't immune to this lunacy about kiddie games either. Nope. While I was doing this podcast, I found out about this. One such girl in Pennsylvania got suspended for, and I'm just amazed how over the top this is, folks. I'm still amazed by this one. She got suspended for a bubble gun. Yeah, a bubble gun. One of those bubble makers. You know, the things that spit out bubbles when you fill them with soapy water and hit the switch? Well, it seems this girl had one of these bubble guns and was, quote-unquote, shooting bubbles at her friends. Now, folks, if you ever played with making bubbles, as I have, you know they don't go very far. You're certainly not in any danger of dying by bubble maker. You might get a little wet, though. That's about it. Oh, and even better, this bubble gun was the Hello Kitty edition. Yeah, there's a Hello Kitty edition of this bubble gun. Guess what the school did? They called this bubble-making machine a, and I quote, terrorist threat. I'm serious, folks. You cannot make this stuff up. Listen to this.
A pink Hello Kitty bubble gun similar to this one is the reason a 5-year-old girl was suspended from kindergarten at Mount Carmel Area Elementary School. Her family's attorney says she was at her school bus stop last week when she told a classmate she was going to shoot him and herself with the bubble gun. A gun she did not have with her.
It's just bubbles. It can't harm anybody. It's not hard. It's not going to puncture anything or anybody harm in any way.
According to the family's lawyer, district officials at Mount Carmel Area Elementary School questioned her for 3 hours without her parents' knowledge. She was suspended for 10 days for making terroristic threats.
I would be very upset about that. I mean, they should have called the mother right away. You know, I mean, my son's 13, and if he got called into the office, I would want to know right away.
It's only a bubble gun for a 5-year-old. And to give him a 10-day suspension, that's horrible.
The Hello Kitty bubble gun is similar to this one, except it's pink and it has a picture of Hello Kitty on it. It is considered a toy. When you pull the trigger, it shoots out bubbles. The family's lawyer says a psychologist examined the girl and said she was not a danger to others, so district officials reduced the suspension from 10 days to 4 days. Mount Carmel superintendent told Newswatch 16, quote, "We don't comment on issues involving staff or students because of confidentiality."
I know that they're trying to, I guess, you know, band down on stuff like that at school, but obviously I don't think bubbles would hurt any child. You know, start to get them wet.
So, now they're even going after little white girls with dangerous, terroristic weapons like a bubble-making machine. Yeah, I'm sure that's what Al-Qaeda's arming their actual terrorists with. I can just hear it now. Yo, Ibrahim, don't forget the Hello Kitty bubble gun. Oh, yeah, thanks, Farouk. Oh, hey, dude, could you grab the soap suds? I'll need that, too. Don't want to be without ammo, you know. Yeah, not likely. I think we can all agree. Folks, look, I know that Sandy Hook is still fresh in everyone's minds. It's fresh in mine, too. What happened on December 14th last year was one of the most evil acts I have ever heard of happening in recent times in this country. I remember when Columbine High School hit the news in 1999. That was about 14 years ago. That tragedy. Well, just like now, there were all sorts of calls for more gun restriction back then, too. The assault weapons ban of 1994 was already in effect, as was the Gun-Free School Zones Act of 1995, by the way. And it still happened. Yet the antis were still going for more, even though those didn't work. But never did they dare to go after little kids like they're doing now. Like you've heard about during this podcast. This is new. Folks, what we're seeing here is an attempt to indoctrinate children. Little children. For innocent kid stuff. If anyone really believes that a so-called Lego gun or a Hello Kitty bubble-making machine or a Pop-Tart pastry is somehow a tool of violence, then, oh boy, we're in worse shape as a society than I thought. Folks, this is hysteria. It's irrational. These are supposed to be people who are highly educated. They're supposed to know better. And guess what? I think they do. They work with little kids all the time. Better than anyone else, perhaps, they know the importance of getting them young. We know that it's harder to change an adult's mind than a child's. They figure, if they can get the little kids to absorb the idea that guns bad, at an early age, well, it's less likely that they'll change their minds as they grow up. Comes part of them. Just keep reinforcing it all throughout school. 13 of your most formative years. That includes kindergarten. Now, you seriously tell me, the little children you heard in this episode weren't negatively affected by what was done to them at the hands of those adults in those schools. That little boy with a Pop-Tart, he was afraid to go back to his school. The boy playing Army Save the World that got disbanded, His mother has pulled both him and his fourth grade sister out of that school, and I don't blame that mother one bit. Throwing a kid out of school not only puts a suspension on a kid's record, folks, but it's also a form of public shaming, public humiliation. Don't think the other kids don't know when one of their peers has gotten thrown out of school. I know how well this works. That's what they did to me in California. And it took till I was 39 years old to finally realize how wrong-headed that position is. When I heard about the boy in West Virginia who not only got suspended from school but arrested by the police, I wondered, hey, what's going on? That ain't California, that's West Virginia. Don't they like guns out there? Yeah, you heard right. There's a boy in West Virginia who not only got suspended from school, he was also arrested by the police, handcuffs and all. Here's what's going on. He was wearing a brown t-shirt with the NRA's logo and a picture of a rifle on it. A t-shirt, not an actual gun. A t-shirt. Yeah. Well, the school called the police and had this 13-year-old boy arrested. Handcuffs, the whole thing. All because he remembered the Supreme Court ruling of Tinker versus Des Moines, which says that students do not shed their constitutional rights upon entering the schoolhouse gates. Basically, they told him to take off his t-shirt or else, and he said, no, he wouldn't. Yeah, arrested with handcuffs for that. The message, once again, is very clear. Guns bad. Guns bad. But see, since he's not a 7-year-old, but rather now in his very early teens, seems they felt they had to use stronger measures to try to scare this kid. Well, not only did it not work, he still wore that t-shirt to school after the suspension was over, but other kids also started wearing similar t-shirts in a show of support for him. This courageous young man is named Jared Markham, and the school is Logan Middle School in Logan, West Virginia. Oh, and to add further insult on top of what's already there, turns out this Logan Middle School didn't even have a policy forbidding such shirts. And since it's a public school, I'm not sure such a ban would pass constitutional muster anyway. Apparently, contempt of school administrator is alive and well at Logan Middle School. Really, folks? Really? Arrested? Put in handcuffs? Folks, that's how you treat a sex offender, not a child wearing a t-shirt that doesn't even violate school policy. Still think it's a case of nothing to worry about, just an isolated incident? Well, there sure seems to be a whole lot of those isolated incidents. Wow. You know, now I'm starting to understand this growing movement toward homeschooling that I'm seeing these days. So, folks, if you have kids, give them a real education about firearms. Teach them the rules of firearm safety. Use the Eddie Eagle materials as well. They're freely available. Teach them how to shoot. Impress on them that a gun is a tool and that the misuse of any tool, including a firearm, can injure or even kill an innocent being. But whatever you do, if you're a parent, don't let this anti-gun hysterical indoctrination of children go unchallenged. Don't let it. And be ready to employ your Second Amendment-friendly attorney if need be, like yet another family did a few months back. This was due to a picture posted on Facebook of a 10-year-old who was holding his 22 caliber AR-looking rifle that his father just gotten for him. I'm sure you heard about that, too. The police, social workers, the whole thing. If that attorney had not been around, who knows what would have happened. So be ready with your attorney. Believe me, you do not want your kids to be like me and have to wait until nearly 40 years old to finally understand the full nature of the Constitution, including our Second Amendment. Teach them this yourself and make sure. This is Cowboy T, signing off until next time. Till then, safe shooting, keep practicing, and thanks for listening.